PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading.
Aye, we're up at the crack of dawn to spend a day at the beach. But we're not going swimming or sunbathing. We're going treasure hunting. Come on. Welcome to Pirate's Cove. You know, whoever named this place knew exactly what he was doing. Look at this. I found it in my attic, behind some loose bricks in the chimney. It's a treasure map, and it's signed by Dogtooth Louie. He was a famous pirate who looted ships off the coast here, and he left behind a treasure that's never been found. Ooh, and look at this. This must be the chest that contains Dogtooth Louie's treasure, and it's buried somewhere out here in the sand, just waiting for us to find it. One treasure hunter spent 20 years searching the ocean floor looking for a ship filled with gold. And the story of that incredible search is told in this book, Sunken Treasure.
Sunken Treasure by Gail Gibbons. Read by Robert Morse. It is 1622. The Atocha is a Spanish treasure ship, laden with gold, jewels, silver bars, and thousands of coins. As the ship nears Florida, a hurricane gathers strength. Wind rips at the Atocha's sails. Suddenly, a huge wave lifts the ship and throws it against a reef. The hull breaks open, and the Atocha sinks beneath the waves. All but five aboard drown. Spain wants its treasure back. Search ships are sent out, but the Atocha cannot be found. Hundreds of years go by. The Atocha is almost forgotten. In the early 1960s, a man named Mel Fisher reads about the Atocha. He decides to find the lost treasure ship. He takes search boats to where it is believed the Atocha went down. The boats are fitted with modern equipment for exploring the ocean bottom. When the instruments register a hit, divers go down to investigate. Large, elbow-shaped pipes, called mailboxes, are swung into place. The mailboxes are Mel Fisher's invention. The whirling of the boat's propellers forces water through the mailboxes, blowing large holes in the sand. If anything is buried, it will be uncovered. But nothing from the Atocha is found. Mel Fisher asks an expert to look through Spanish shipping records from the 1600s. The expert discovers a new clue about where the team should look, and he finds a cargo list that tells what the Atocha was carrying. In 1971, a huge anchor, several muskets, and gold bars and chains are found. But there is no way to prove they are from the Atosha. 2 years later, three heavy silver bars are recovered. The bars with their markings match up with the Atosha's cargo list. Now they have proof. It takes 12 more years until the divers finally find the mother lode, the main treasure of the ship. Before the divers bring anything up, a marine archaeologist makes a record of the site. A grid of plastic pipes is laid down. The divers take pictures and make drawings square by square. Each square of the grid is numbered. That way, the exact position of each timber, coin, and artifact is recorded. Later, archaeologists and historians will use this information to learn about times past. Now the treasure can be brought up. Crew members lower baskets over the side to divers. The divers gently fan the sand with their hands and use an airlift to carefully suck the sand away. Each piece of treasure must be accounted for. One after another, baskets full of treasure are raised to the surface. In a building back on the mainland, workers determine the right way to preserve each artifact permanently. Some of the treasure will crumble if it is exposed to air. Soaking it in water preserves it temporarily. Silver coins are put into chemical baths to clean and restore them. In 1 or 2 days, they will look like new. The gold from the Atosha is already shiny. Gold never loses its luster. There were many pottery storage jars on board the Atosha. Amazingly, some are recovered whole. Others must be pieced together again. The treasure of the Nuestra Señora de Atosha is valued at hundreds of millions of dollars. A very wealthy treasure ship indeed. The wreck and its artifacts will be studied by historians and archaeologists for years to come. Their discoveries will enrich our knowledge of the past. And this will be the second treasure of the Atosha.
The discovery of the Atosha was big news all over the world. Television crews sailed to the site to observe the salvage operations.
And what they saw was fascinating. Divers working as a team on the ocean floor. They fit the plastic pipes together to make the grid. And everything is photographed, so accurate records are kept. A metal detector is used as the divers search for clues leading them to the Atosha's cargo. This diver uncovers a surprise. A spoon, probably from the ship's kitchen. And here's the other half. The airlift and mailboxes clear the way for the diver's search. And here are the rewards. A 300-year-old clay jar in perfect condition. Thousands of silver coins buried in the wreckage. And shining through the sand and cloudy water, gold from the Atosha's treasure chests. It's been 15 years of hard work, but the Atosha's treasure has finally come to the surface.
So far, so good. I think this rock here is the same as this one on this map, and all these funny dotted lines must be footsteps. So, as long as I keep walking in the right direction, I can't go wrong. 11. I'm almost there. The chest is buried in the sand just up ahead. Okay, turn right and walk 10 paces. One, two, three, four, five, six. Uh-oh. The beach must have changed a lot since Louis was here. I'm gonna need more than a map to find this treasure. Here's just what I need, my compass. A compass needle always points north, and that can help me find the right direction on my map. Compasses have helped people find their way for hundreds of years, and today, scientists use extraordinary new tools to help them find much more than a compass ever could.
Like the most famous shipwreck in history, the Titanic. It is April 1912, and the biggest ship ever built, the Titanic, sets sail from England across the Atlantic, packed with excited passengers. It's two nights later, and suddenly, out of the gloom, the lookout spots a huge dark shape, an iceberg. The crew tries desperately to turn the ship, but it's too late. The iceberg grinds along the ship's side. Water pours into the lower decks. The impossible has happened. The Titanic is sinking. Passengers fill the lifeboats, but there aren't enough. The Titanic disappears into the icy deep with over 1,000 people still on board. 73 years later, Dr. Robert Ballard, an underwater scientist and explorer at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, sets out to follow his lifelong dream, to find the Titanic.
To mount an expedition, it takes all kinds of people with all sorts of skills, men and women who can operate computers, who can run the ship, who can do a variety of different things. We went out first, and we searched, and we didn't find anything. We covered most of the area, and we didn't find a single object that suggested that we were even close to the Titanic. And then we went out a few weeks later with my robot, Argo. And Argo has a series of cameras on it and sonars on it, and you put it down deep in the ocean on a cable, and you tow it behind the ship, sort of like a kite, but upside down. And the images that the cameras see are transmitted up the cable and displayed in our control room. We've been searching for 60 days and we were down to our last 4 days, so I was starting to panic. And then all of a sudden came into view the debris, and the first recognizable thing we saw was the boiler, one of the big boilers from the Titanic. And it was a very exciting moment. We all were jumping up and down like kids, because we really are kids. Well, once we had found the boiler and we began moving up to where we thought the Titanic was, it showed up on our sonar as a big, big shadow. So we came in very, very high above the ship. We turned on our black and white cameras, and up on the screen came the image of the bow. Looking straight down, you can see the auxiliary anchor. You could see the crow's nest had fallen over and lain onto the bridge. And beneath the crow's nest and mast, you could see two big cranes folded into the forecastle. And then you could actually look down inside some of the cargo openings, because the hatches had blown off as the ship had gone to the bottom. And you could gaze down inside the interior of the Titanic. Well, since we found the Titanic so late in our 1985 search, we had only a few days to really explore it. And so when we left, I felt a sense of incompleteness, that I hadn't really got to know the ship and got to explore it as much as I wanted to, particularly because I wanted to go inside the Titanic and see what was inside the ship. To do what I really wanted to do, I had to come back to Woods Hole and build a new robot. And the name of that robot was Jason Jr., JJ. We have a little submarine here at Woods Hole called Alvin that can carry 3 people deep within the sea. And we put JJ on the front of Alvin in a little garage. And then I was able to land the submarine on the deck of the Titanic, which was really an amazing thing. And then once the submarine was sitting quietly on the ship's surface, I could then send JJ deep inside the ship. And I went through a variety of different places. I went to the bridge, and I looked around the bridge. I went into the promenade and peeked in some of the windows with JJ. But then there was this one room we went into, and it was very dark, and hanging from the ceiling were like icicles, but they were made of rust, and we called them rustsicles. They're very fragile, and they're hanging from the roof. Suddenly, Jason bumped into one of the big rustsicles, and when you do that, the rustsicles are made up of very fragile material, and so it turns instantly into a cloud, a rusty cloud, and we couldn't see. We could bump into things, so we had to pull Jason back out until that rustsicle cloud went away. And then all of a sudden, we saw off to our left, in the middle of the room, hanging from the ceiling was one of Titanic's light fixtures, an incredible chandelier light fixture hanging there, and then it was ornamented by a sea fan, like a feather in a hat, and it was really quite an amazing thing to see. We never took anything from the Titanic, but we left something behind to commemorate all those that had died on the ship and requesting that the ship be left in peace. So we put a beautiful bronze plaque on the stern of the ship, and it's still down there today. I think everyone is born a scientist. Every person that comes onto the planet begins as a scientist. They want to know why they're here. They want to know what the Earth is all about. And as a child, I was always curious. I wanted to know the answers to everything. And I continue to ask questions, and what's so beautiful about it, you can find answers.
Now here's a gadget that's sure to find treasure. It's a metal detector. This machine works a bit like a magnet. When it passes near any object that's made of metal, even if it's buried in the sand, it beeps. Watch this. Quarter. It works. Now let's see if we can find that treasure. There's something down here. Oh, I feel it. And it's heavy. It's a bucket. It's not exactly a treasure, is it? You know, I think this could take some time. So while I keep looking, you can go on your own treasure hunt. I know a place where everywhere you look, you're bound to strike gold. And here are three gems that are just waiting to be dug out of your local library or bookstore. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Take a deep breath, grab your fins, mask, and snorkel, because you're coming with me, Ravi, on an underwater exploration of the sea. It all begins in this book called What's in the Deep. This book is a little different. It tells the story, but at the same time gives you lots of facts. Nelson, Patricia, and Todd spend the day snorkeling. You can't imagine what they see. Fish, coral, sponges, anemones, and lots more. There's a whole new world under the ocean surface, and I had fun swimming along with the characters in this book. You will too, so find out what's in the deep.
Imagine being in a submarine and sinking deeper, deeper, and deeper until you reach the bottom of the ocean. What do you think you'd see there? Find out in this book called A Day Underwater. It's a story about a submarine called Alvin traveling to the bottom of the ocean. Two scientists and one pilot travel inside Alvin. They travel to the ocean floor and study animals, plants, and rocks. Alvin has robot arms that collect things from the sea. There are strange rocks and even stranger animals. I'm Annie Wong, and I really enjoyed my voyage under the sea with Alvin. I hope you will, too. Read A Day Underwater.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Lucas, and I'm here to tell you about one of the greatest tragedies of all time. And you can read about it in this book, The Titanic, Lost and Found. The Titanic was a huge ship built a long time ago. People thought it was unsinkable, but they were wrong. One dark, cold night, the Titanic hit an iceberg and sank. Many people lost their lives. After this accident, people learned a lot about making ships safer. This book is full of interesting facts. To find out more, sail on down to your local library or bookstore and pick it up.
My detector found lots of metal. But it didn't find any treasure. But I have one last way to find the treasure hidden on this beach. Come here, boy. Here you go, good boy. This is Baskerville. He's a bloodhound, and bloodhounds are known for their incredible sense of smell. When a bloodhound puts its nose to work, it can follow a trail for miles. So Baskerville should have no trouble finding anything that's buried on this beach. Come on, Baskerville, you ready? Let's go do your stuff. Come on. Where is it? Where is it? Where do you think it is? Is that it? Is it here? I definitely think he's found something. Okay, good work, Baskerville. Okay, let's dig. Oh, look, there's something here. There is something here, and it looks like a chest. This is great. We're finally gonna get a chance to see the secret of Dogtooth Louie's treasure. Here it is. Boy, ready? Bone? It's a bone! Yeah, Baskerville, I guess that's for you. I don't get it. why would Dogtooth Louie bury a bone? Dogtooth Louie. Oh, no. Here it is. These aren't footprints. They're paw prints. Oh, boy. Well, I guess I now know why they called Louie Dogtooth. But you know, even though I didn't find my treasure, Baskerville sure did. Huh, boy? Yeah. And guess what? I did make one important discovery. If you use the right tools and you keep on looking, you never know what you might uncover. And who knows? Maybe next time, I will find the treasure of my dreams. Huh, Baskerville? Well, we'll see you next time. Is that a good bone, huh?
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Sunken Treasure by Gail Gibbons, published by Thomas Y. Kroll. What's in the Deep? An Underwater Adventure for Children by Elise and Morton Pector, published by Acropolis Books, Limited. A Day Underwater by Deborah Kovacs, published by Scholastic Incorporated. The Titanic Lost and Found by Judy Donnelly, illustrated by Keith Kohler, published by Random House.